Hello, everybody. This is Michelle Gunderson, and I want to welcome you to What Costly Mistakes Do Writers Make? The Key to Getting Your Words Out of Your Head and Onto the Page. I'm so excited to be with you today to share my secrets on the number one mistake that writers make and what to do about it. This call is all about finding those words that are deep inside you, just waiting to come out. It's about getting them finally from your head to your heart to the page. It's so great to see you on the line today. I feel so honored by your presence. We're going to cover a lot today. So take a breath. I'm going to take a breath too. So excited to be here with you. Be present. Know that this time is for you. Know that things may be about to shift for you in a beautiful way, and that those words that you've been waiting for, perhaps for a very long time, are about to emerge. So once again, this is Michelle Gunderson, and you are on What Costly Mistake Do Writers Make? The Key to Getting Your Words Out of Your Head and Onto the Page. Now, some of you who are listening to this call, I've worked closely with you before, maybe at a retreat or at a workshop, in weekly classes or teleclasses, or even in my year-long private coaching and mastermind program. So, for example, if your picture was in my e-zine yesterday, we spent all last week together at a profoundly transformative retreat up in the Rocky Mountains. For many of you, though, I've not yet had the opportunity to meet you either virtually or live. So I wanted to give you some background information about where this work on what I call the inner game of writing is coming from. As you may know, before I founded my own coaching and mastermind program, which has just recently been named Love Your Words, Love Your Life Community, which is perfect for what we do, opening up to loving our words once again and getting those words finally onto the page. So before I founded this program, for many years I taught writing and literature at the university. When I began this teaching in the interior of BC in 1989, I had no idea what I would be up against. You see, all I knew was that I was there to inspire writers, to help them find their greatness, to let them know that what they had to say really mattered. What I didn't know was that I was joining an institution that didn't always have these aims in mind. What I found was that although there were good teachers and fine people around me, the institution as a whole wasn't always keen on helping students find their creative genius. It often seemed to be more about grades and competition and trying to measure up. If you remember what it was like in school sometimes, whether it was first grade or graduate school, maybe you know what I mean. Anyway, here's what it felt like to me. It seemed to be about teaching my students that writing was tough, that you better work hard to make it, that your words just may not measure up. So you'd better buckle down. That was the message at least I was supposed to be giving my students, or else you just might find yourself with a failing grade. But, you see, I didn't really believe in failing students. I just knew, even at that time, over 20 years ago now, that each person has a story inside them, just waiting to come out. I knew that all my students needed was someone to help their stories come out. They needed someone to believe in them. They needed to know that those negative voices outside them didn't really know anything about what their writing was truly worth. My students needed help getting their stories from their head to their heart to the page. Sadly, though, I knew that from kindergarten on, many of these students had been told that what they had to say didn't matter. Not really. It wasn't about finding their own stories. It was about regurgitating what they were taught about what someone else had said. It was about discovering how what others had to say was more important than what they knew and believed. It's actually about obliterating their own experience, their own stories, their own unique view of the world and their place in it. Now, it's not that the craft of writing was never taught. Students learned where to put the nouns and verbs and how to structure a paragraph and spell correctly, how to cross the T's and dot the I's. They learned to make sure it was all neat and tidy and correct. The problem was all the guts had been taken out of the writing. And the system taught them to hate their own words. You know, the funny thing was, these were experienced writers, English majors with keen analytical minds, bright and articulate science students brimming with stories about our planet and our world, future teachers who would lead our children one day with their own unique vision. They were storytellers and artists and visionaries. They were students with important stories to tell. They were people like you. They were people like me. They were people like my grandfather, who had a grade 2 education and whose words have had the power to inspire family members decades after his death. Because they were his powerful words. They were right and true. So I wanted to find another way. I wanted to let students know that their words mattered. I wanted to let them know that their words came from a deep, still place within them, a place that no one else had direct access to. I wanted to let them know that if they didn't share these stories with the world, no one would, and their stories would be lost to the world. At first, back in 1989, kind of crazy sometimes, I remember that as I struggled to find a different way, I couldn't always help my students. It didn't always work out the way I wanted it to. In my first semester, two students actually put in a complaint about my class. And because I was on a temporary contract at that time, I was afraid I'd lose my job. I remember pacing outside the classroom as the chair of the department grilled my students to see if there were grounds for punitive action or dismissal. You see, in trying to find a new way, I wasn't always successful. There was no path, no model, no guide for doing it differently. The cool thing is that, although it wasn't perfect, even in that first semester of 1989, I learned a few things about writing. By the time the chair of the department left my class, he was all smiles. The students had rallied around me. They wanted my teaching to continue. They knew there was something different here, and although it wasn't perfect, it was good. It was very good. It was a way to find their own value, their own voice again. That was over 20 years ago. It's been a great journey since then. I've learned through the generosity, through the wisdom of those first students and others like them, some of the best techniques on the planet for allowing words, deeply resonant words, to flow onto the page. I've learned what it takes to empower writers to discover the deep beauty of their own words. By the time I left the university in 2007 to found my own coaching program, I'd had the opportunity to teach countless students. I was so overjoyed. I was so honored when my students nominated me for a teaching award. And they gave me cards and gifts. They recommended my classes to others. But most especially when they came back, sometimes years later, to tell me how mine was the best course they'd taken in 4 years of university, how I was the one who finally taught them how to write, how I'd helped them to find their voice. I tell you this about my students not to impress you, but to impress upon you that it is possible to tap into our stories once again, to find stories that are lost or hidden within us. It's possible to release our silence and finally find the words. And there's a method to it, one that's been developed and refined for over 20 years. There's a clear and proven path to get there. I've now taught thousands of writers how to get their words from the head to the heart page. And so exciting to me to see the way that hearts open and words start to pour out so much more easily than we sometimes expect. It's thrilling to me when students truly discover that their words matter. So we're going to spend about 75 minutes, plus or minus, something like that, together today. And we're going to go deep into winning what I call the inner game of writing. I want you to know that this training call is for you. I want you to feel confident that you're in the right place. This is the right place if you'd like to write. But there are errands to run, family members to tend to, groceries to buy, a living to earn, and somehow in all that, the writing always takes second place. This is the right place if you're tired of staring endlessly at a blank page or at your computer, continually hitting delete, delete, delete. This is the right place if you've ever walked into your writing room excited, ready for your day, knowing you're finally going to get the words down. And you see that half-written stack of stories or other writings, and your head starts to hurt, your heart pounds, you have no idea where to begin. This is the right place if you write, but not as much as you'd like or in the way you'd like. This is the right place if you know, like you know, like you know, that you have stories inside you, and they're just waiting to come out. You know it's your time to get those words from your head to your heart to the page. So why are we here today? I'm here to share with you the one huge mistake that most writers make that keeps them stuck, unable to get the words to the page, and the one thing you need to do in order to get your pen flowing. As my students at the university learned, and as my current coaching students know in their bones, when you let the words flow in the way I'll teach you today, your words come from a deep, resonant place within. They matter. They matter to you. They matter to your audience, to those who will hear your words eventually. Your words matter to the world. Our words draw us together. Our shared stories allow us to explore our differences. They allow us to connect with each other, with what we all have in common. Our stories matter, and we can make them sing. So we're going to cover a lot today. We're going to talk about the number one thing you need to focus on to get your writing flowing onto the page. We're going to focus on exactly what it is that keeps writers stuck. And when I tell you, you're going to start seeing exactly how this happens to stop people dead in their tracks, not only in their writing, but in the rest of their lives as well. You'll be amazed at how pervasive this block is. You'll find it in lunch conversations, in lineups at the grocery store, in conversations parents have with their children, in business meetings. And it's right inside us, too. That's why this call is all about what I call the inner game of writing. Once we see where this block is, how we continually sabotage ourselves and our writing efforts from moment to moment to moment, we'll explore how to get unstuck. We'll find out how you can write what you want, when you want, in the way that you want. And you just may find that it's easier than you think. We've got a lot to cover today. And here's my commitment to you. I'll give you everything I possibly can give you in the time we have together today. Now, I know that from past experience, there are going to be pieces where you'll want more detail, where you'll want to take it deeper, where you'll want to know what the next step is. There'll be pieces where you'll want to dive further in. So I'll give you everything I can in our time together, and then I'll show you where to get more. That's my promise to you. So have your pen and paper at hand, roll up your sleeves, and get ready to take a lot of notes. Because I'm going to be sharing content with you today that has the power to stop you from hitting delete, 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 or never getting to the page at all, or once you get there, saying those words are just not the right ones. To find those words and to find that place where you can go from your head to your heart to the page to get those words down that you know are in you, that are absolutely your birthright. Here we go. I want to introduce you to what I call the editor. I'm going to tell you what it is, where it comes from, why it matters, and what we can do about it. This editor is connected to the key mistake writers make in ways I'll explain. We need to let this editor go. And today, I'm going to show you how. Then once we've let this editor go, the journey's not yet over. That's key, as I'll explain toward the end of the call. If we just learn how to let the editor go, but stop there, we'll never be free. The writing may start, but it will likely stop again for reasons I'll explain. I'll let you know what the next step is in order to keep the pen flowing always with words that matter to you, that matter to the world. So, what is this editor? I want to ask you a question. Do you have a little voice in your head? What does this little voice say to you? And if you're saying, what voice? That I don't have a voice in my head. I mean that voice, the one that's saying those things. This voice in your head, is it always your very best friend, whispering kind things to keep you moving forward in your writing journey? Not usually, not remotely. This voice in our heads, I call it the editor. And the number one mistake writers make is connected with that voice in our heads. When I was teaching at the university, I was trying to reach students whose inner critic, that's one version of the editor anyway, an inner critic, what I call the editor, had run rampant. Their editor was telling them that nothing they said would ever measure up. And this negative voice was lodged in their bodies as physical tension. Tight faces, strained eyes, drooping shoulders, defeated looks. It's that voice that was stopping my students when I taught at the university. It's that same voice that stops us all. So what does your editor say? What voice or voices are you listening to? What is that little voice in your head saying about your writing, about your ability to write? What's it saying about who you are in this world? You know, we're always listening to someone or something, the news, the radio, our children, our church, our parents, our friends, TV shows, commercials. So we listen to a lot of stuff. What are we actually listening to? And why does it matter? As children, maybe we listen to adults who told us we'd better follow the rules or something not so good would happen to us. It's hard to follow all the rules, you know. So without knowing it, maybe we were waiting inside for that bad thing someday to descend. Or perhaps as children, we listened to an adult who told us that we'd better stop crying or they'd give us something to cry about. Or maybe we listened to a teacher who told us that our paper is a C paper. And suddenly, without even realizing it, somewhere deep down inside, we thought we not only had a C paper, but a C life. Or we listened to someone who told us that, you know, they're not angry, they're just disappointed in us. And our world seemed to shrink just a little bit. we may have listened to someone who didn't always have our best interests in mind. Did that ever, even once, happen to you? Now here's the thing. Somehow, that voice gets lodged in our heads. It's not very pretty. And this voice, what I call the editor, is the number one block for writers. This editor keeps us from writing. What I've found in the thousands of writers that I've worked with. The number one mistake writers make is listening to this voice in their heads that tells them they can't do it, they're not good enough, they don't have enough experience, their grammar isn't good enough, they don't have anything important enough to say, they don't have the skill it takes to do what they know in their hearts they need to do. That is, to set the pen to the page and write the words, those deeply resonant words that are in their heart. Right here, right now. So why does this matter? Why does this matter to you, to me, to the world? Because if you don't tell your story, who will? Your story is lost to the world. So that's what it is, but then what do we do about it, Michelle? Well, becoming aware of this voice is the first step, and it's a huge step, it's crucial. When we're aware, we can change it. Usually, and this part is key, we're so used to living with this voice that we don't even know it's there. So let me give you a couple of good examples of editor talk and just see if you recognize it. Now, one word of caution or warning, you know, the details may be different. I may not have exactly your details, but, you know, underlying it all, the voice in its many forms, I'll talk about the many forms more toward the end of the call, but the underlying many forms of voice is the same. It's a voice that makes us tired. It's a voice that tells us we can't do it. It's a voice that leaves us defeated, often even before we set the pen to the page. Then, when we do set pen to page, it wreaks havoc with our words. Now here's a warning. This may not feel good at first. But please stay with me. There may actually be some relief here, like, oh, somebody knows what's in my head, finally. And maybe, just maybe, there's a way to get it out. And there is. So here we go. Here's one version of the editor's voice. We're not even going to talk about the writing yet, just our daily lives, but it translates directly into the writing. Here it goes. Does your head ever sound anything like this? I encourage you here to put down your pen, close your eyes. Anything like this? Gotta go get groceries, gotta get there soon. God, it's going to be traffic, I know it. I hate it when there's traffic. There'll probably be an accident. Jeez, oh, I'm going to be late again. I'm so hungry. When did I last eat? God, I'm gaining weight again. Peach season is coming out. But God, this guy in front of me, he's taking forever. Haven't you seen the white buddy? It's green. Hello? Oh, I should get chicken breast lean. Oh, it's going to cost too much. God, we're going to be in the street. The prices are crazy. Oh, shut up. It's not my fault. I don't go spending it on... Hey, it's finally moving. About time. The light's almost red. When am I going to have time to write? I'm so tired. My boss thinks I can't get the report done. What does he know? So, it's not a question of not listening. It's just a question of, like, who are we listening to? All that garble, all that stuff, that's what we usually listen to, whether we know it or not. And often when we don't know it, it's even more insidious. That's the editor in petty form. And the editor comes in many forms. The editor caught in daily life, too much to do, too busy, can't get it done mode. The editor has many modes. Again, I'll talk about this further toward the end of the call. The editor's many modes and what to do about it. So again, here's the question. Who or what are we listening to? Can we become aware of what's in our heads, moment to moment. When we do, we become free. We can make a change. So here's my next question for you. When does the editor live? The editor does not live in the present. Key point. I'm going to write that down. The editor doesn't live in the present. The editor is always in the future or the past, not the present. So we're in our heads, often some regret about the past or some worry about the future. That's one of the editor's major modes. So here it is in terms of writing. And if some of those words didn't quite fit, maybe some of these ones will. Again, the editor has many modes, but it's the very same head mechanism that messes us up. Here it is for writing, one of the editor's many writing modes. And again, might not feel comfortable at first, but if any of these, if you've ever heard any of these in your head before, you might go, oh man, okay, at least I'm not alone, and maybe I can do something about it. Here's the editor for writing, one of many versions. Close your eyes, put your pen down, take a breath. Here it is. Oh, a piece of writing, a piece of can't read this to them or her or to everyone else knows what they're doing. Jeez, I don't really know what I'm doing. They all have more experience than me. They know what they're doing. That piece, my friend's piece, could have been published in the New Yorker. This piece I'm working on isn't really that good. I just don't know why I can't find time to make it better. Why did I ever let myself think I could write? My family needs me. My boss needs me. My house needs me, my relatives need me, my book needs me, my nails need trimming, the laundry needs folding. I don't have time. Why did I think I could do this? I'm not making as much progress as I should. I should have had this done last week. I can't. And so on. So we're listening to the past and the future. Question is, how do we turn all this around? Now, in a way, it's really simple. The key to getting your true words, your real words, from the head to the heart to the page, is to start to pay attention. Really pay attention to where you're listening moment to moment. Is it to the truth within you? Or is it to these punitive editor's words? You know, when you find a way at first to hear what the editor is saying, and when you stop listening to your editor's words, and then finally, as I'll talk about further a little later in the call, when you learn how to cut the editor off at its roots, your world will be utterly transformed. And the words that are your birthright, deeply resonant words, will start to leap onto the page. Here's something for you to play with after this call, an exercise, or what I call home play for you. We all have these negative thoughts that swirl around in our heads, sapping our energy. And I did this exercise with an amazing teacher a number of years ago. It was so revealing. I suggest that you do this sometime this week. If you take it seriously, well, I don't mean seriously, playfully, do it in the spirit of play. To seeing what is, it truly has the power to change your life. I speak from direct experience and from the experience of many, many, many writers I've worked with. Here's the home play. Are you ready? Take one day this week, whichever day works best for you. Have a small notebook with you everywhere you go. Now pay attention to your mind. Every time a negative thought about yourself or your writing comes up, write it down. Just notice it. Noticing the editor is powerful. We can see the tapes that are playing in our heads over and over again. We can start to see some themes. Is it that, oh, I'm being rude again, or I'm impatient, or here's one of mine that I've learned to turn around, that I'm a bad mother? Is it that I'm stupid, or that I don't know enough about it, or I'll lose my patience if that happens one more time, or I'm not a writer, but, or I don't know enough, or here's the trick. There's no judgment here. And when you feel the energy behind the statement, often these things come with force. Don't worry. That's just the energy of your true self, all balled up in a different form. It's been distorted, but the energy itself is pure, is radiant, is free. Your true self knows that those statements aren't true. They're just old programming. So a surge of energy comes up. So here it is, the home play. Four steps. One, watch what's in your head moment to moment. Two, write down the negative stuff that comes up about yourself or your world without judgment. Three, feel the surge of energy that comes with it. That's the energy of your real self knowing that that's not true. That's huge. Four, tell yourself, thanks for sharing, or laugh out loud, whatever it takes to notice that none of that's true. So what are some strategies for dealing with the editor once we're aware that the editor's there? We only have a few minutes here. There's so much that I want to share with you. But don't worry. If you want further strategies and then how to apply them, how to make them really work in your life, because that's the key. There's support for you to do that. I'll share that with you later in the call. For now, here's some suggestions and get you started right away. Say, thanks for sharing. Say, no thanks, or cancel, or no, that's not the truth, and affirm the opposite. Say, all is well, because that is the truth. Make sure to share your writing. My students know this well. Those who've attended retreats with me, never forced to share, but boy, do they know to share at this moment. Share your writing, especially when the editor is kicking up a fuss, because that's where the gold lies. Keep the pen to the page. It keeps you ahead of the editor. The editor can't keep up. Personify the editor. You might want to give him or her a name. Maybe it's the biker chick or the disapproving dad or, I don't know, the Hitler voice or the sneaky one pretending to be supportive and going in through the back door. I'll come back to this editor a little later on. Learn to be aware of the editor's sneaky tactics so you can beat the editor at his or her own game. And sometimes just a facial gesture is what the editor does, you know? So, you can do anything to shift that energy in the moment, stir things up a little. I mean, stick out your tongue or do a crazy smile or shake up your body. So there's ways that you can shift the editor right at a bodily level. Do something fun for a while. You know, raise your vibration or shift your energy if that language works for you, whatever works for you. Something fun so you feel better. Take a walk, go to the gym, practice yoga, pet your cat. Go for a walk with your dog. Whatever gets you into that better feeling space. Definitely have fun. The editor hates fun, by the way. Write more of what your editor doesn't like. Write the worst story possible, the worst one you can think of. Let your writing practice be playful like a child. These strategies, each and every one of them, are absolutely life-changing. Each one of them has transformed my life and the life of many, many, many people I've worked with. They've taken me years to discover the depths of them. Each one, it's just like I'm dropping in a seed here, but each one is a gem that if you dive in further, you'll find your writing transformed. Any one of these practices can change your life. I really mean that. It's incredible. You could ask one of my students, Krista, for example, who became aware of her editor when she first started working with me a number of years ago. She started using some of these strategies, and a writing block that was many years old, I forget, 9 years old, 10 years old, many years old, dissolved. And she was writing about materials that she simply couldn't touch before for years. She started living her dream of filmmaking. She's an award-winning filmmaker. She knows that awareness of her editor and then releasing that editor is the key to making it all happen. She used exactly what I'm teaching you here today to make a huge shift in her life, to get her beautiful words finally onto the page. So what would it feel like to live a life without the editor? Think of this. Imagine that as soon as the editor came up, before the thought even formed, the editor went away and was replaced with your ideal listener, your compassionate and supportive listener who loves you and who knows the value of each word you speak, each word you write. How would that feel? What would happen in your life? What would change? Would there be greater clarity, compassion, joy in your life? Would there be way more writing, way more fun writing? I know we're covering a lot here. Don't worry, I'm just dropping the seeds in here, giving you a place to start. I'll let you know how you can get support for your journey so you can take these points step by step so you can take it further. You'll be able to make the small daily changes that amount to a huge shift in what's possible for you. I'm here to help. I'm here to hold your hand through it as we take this journey together. So, if the first step in letting go of the editor is awareness, noticing you even have an editor in the first place, for example, the second step is to notice success. As we work together further, one of the things that Krista really got good at was celebrating success. Her success and the success of those around her. To release the editor and get your words from the head to the heart to the page, celebrate every success, no matter how small it seems to you. It only seems small because of your editor. You might say, no, it's really small. Well, that's your editor's voice once again. So it might be, I got to the page for 1 minute today. Yay! Or I didn't write today and I was gentle with myself about it because there's going to be twice as much writing tomorrow or next week. Yay! I scheduled a coffee and writing date with a friend for next week. Fantastic! I did a 2-hour yoga practice that totally inspired my writing. Or I took a break and took care of myself because I needed to. Or I wrote for 5 hours or 5 minutes. It doesn't really matter what it is. Notice it, write it down, celebrate like crazy. Take action. Celebrate. The editor hates celebration. Here's one of the things that I do to celebrate. And if you, for those of you on the line who know me well, you know this to be very true if you get to know me at all. I dance. I love, it's one of the things I do. I love to dance. One of the things I do, I dance at retreats, dance with my students, I dance with my friends, I dance with my soulmate, I dance with my family, I dance with my daughter in the living room. We put on celebration music. We dance like crazy. It's fun. So why does this matter? Because the editor is all about we've done it wrong. The editor hates it when we celebrate what's right. A lot more has gone right than you may realize. And when you focus on it, you make a space for a lot more to enter in. Which brings me to my next point. I just want to review briefly what we've done because we've covered a lot here. So far, I've explained the major mistake, the one big mistake writers make that keeps their pen from flowing. Without meaning to, they listen to their editor when they may or may not even know that they have one. I told you what this editor is. It's that voice inside that tells us our words are somehow valueless or we don't have time to write or any number of other non-supportive things. I've given you a couple key strategies for releasing the editor. First, become aware that the editor's there in the first place and notice when and where the editor arises. Second, celebrate success like crazy because the editor hates celebration. When we focus on success, that voice in our head starts to shift. So now I want to give you a third strategy for releasing the editor. Are you ready? What you want to do is envision, to replace that negative voice of the editor with something beautiful,
that you want to create. Allow a new vision to enter in. Imagine a different future than the editor might ever dream of. So, we turn back to the past and see with new eyes, see the successes that we've already had. Then we turn to the future and envision a new future, one that the editor never imagined possible. And we do it all by staying in the present. We be present here and now, and the worry and the regret. We stop the endless cycle of worry, the endless thoughts that circle round and round and round. And we create a still, quiet space for the writing to emerge. Yeah, that's what my student Adelaide found when she caught hold of a vision of what was possible for her when we started to work together. She went from dreaming about her book for years to actually writing it. Started with the same technique I'm teaching you right here, right now. So, envisioning a new future, new possibilities. How do we do it? How do we create this new world for ourselves? Here's the thing. We don't want to do it from a place of attachment, a place of empty yearning. That place of empty yearning is often what's advised, but we do it in a way that actually backfires, and it sounds something like this. Here's my vision board. I put all the things I want on it. On it is all kinds of things. Might be a house, a partner, health, fitness, losing weight, getting the words down, getting my blog done, getting the... On my vision board, it's my book is there. And I really want that thing that I don't have. Don't have. So that's a not. Not about yearning or forcing or pretending or striving. Instead, know that what you want, what you see unfolding for you, the stories within you, they're your birthright. They're already there. Just waiting to emerge. What happens is that we place a cork at the top, this cork called the editor, stopping them. Then we get tired because keeping that cork there takes a lot of effort, whether we know it or not. People always tell me, Michelle, where do you get all your energy? You do so much. Where does it come from? It comes from years and years of this work. This work has fabulous spin-off effects. People look at me and say, wow, you do so much, but I do it from a place of joy. I do it from a place of love. I do it from a place that is utterly different than the editor. So know that that future that you envision, it's yours to hold. Take action today to make it happen, one small step at a time. Find that belief, that place of belief in you. Not just belief, but knowing. Like a child who knows in her bones that that thing that she really wants is coming to her. She's one-pointed. It's like the thing's already there. She doesn't just believe, she knows. One-pointed. She knows that it's on its way. Know that your words are on their way. They're already there. Cultivate a practice of envisioning. One like that child who's well-practiced. And yes, 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 it will happen. It will happen. It will happen. It's already there. Cultivate a practice just like that child. Every time we see ourselves saying no, we turn it back to yes. We turn it back to yes. We turn it back. So listening to the editor, it's the biggest mistake that writers make, and often they don't even know it's there. It's the worst kind when we don't know it's there. Here's the thing. If they know about the editor, often they don't know about all the sneaky forms of the editor, how the editor comes sneaking in the back door, catching us unaware with new words and new forms, but the same old tired game of stopping our words. And again, I'll talk about this just a little later in the call, this sneaky editor. So here's what we need to do. Again, these are the steps. First, become aware of the editor and start to let that voice go. I gave you some preliminary ways that dropped some seeds in about how to do that. Celebrate our writing successes, no matter how small they seem. And the last point that I've added in vision, or last of these three points that I want to mention for now. Envision a new future, one that the editor has never even dreamed of. These steps are crucial, each one of them indispensable if we want to share our stories with the world. So we've covered a lot. These steps are the key to freeing your writing. Each one is a necessary first step to let your words flow from the pen to the page. In a little while, again, I'll tell you more about the slippery editor who changes form and what to do about it. It's a key to make sure that our stories continue to flow. Right now, what I want to do is help you to take it further, turning today's immediately useful information into lasting transformation. To do so, I've created a summary page for you. And on this summary page, you'll find the steps you'll need to take in order to keep the words flowing. This page is also my invitation for you. If you choose to continue this work together, I can walk you through it step by step. Either way, these are the steps you'll want to take in order to replace your editor with a new supportive voice and keep your words flowing. You can do these steps on your own, or you can do them with me. It's up to you. Either way, these steps will be of great value to you as you start or you deepen, as you start to deepen your writing journey, as you start to get those words out of your head and onto the page. So this is also my invitation to you, as promised at the beginning of the call. And I'll also keep teaching throughout this section. I'll give you everything I can about each of these key areas in our time together today. So stay with me, because I want to give you the seed of each of these points so you'll know where the next steps are in your writing journey. So the place to go to, and if you're at your computer, if you've got your computer, if you've got access to the internet right now, you can go to www.getwritingnow.ca. I'm just going to take a minute and go there with you right now. www.getwritingnow.ca. And there you'll find a number of words to begin with. You'll see my picture. You'll see a picture of somebody staring at that blank page. You'll see a little guy scratching his head with all those, you know, balls of paper wadded up beside him. You'll see some, so scroll past that. Scroll past some of the words of people that I've worked with, including Chris's words are there, Carol's words, Marie's words, pass by those. And go down to, there's a big square blue box. And where it says, please join me in my upcoming series, Win the Inner Game of Writing, 5 Keys to Getting Your Words from Your Head to the Page. And so here is the next step. Here is how you take it further. These are both the steps you need to take, and if you choose to walk this path with me, I will walk through it with you in a 5 teleclass series that runs throughout July. So here's whether you work with me hand in hand or you decide to go it on your own. These are the 5 steps that you need to take. Remember I told you that we'd get back to that slippery editor. One of the things that happens is we learn about the editor, we learn to let it go, we let it go once, and it comes right back in a different form. Now what do? And we don't even notice this comes back, that it's come back. So what I do when I work with writers, if you choose to work with me or you choose to do this on your own, this is what you need to do to avoid that costly mistake. Learn about what the editor's voice is, learn its myriad forms, and learn what you need to do to let it go. So in step one, the first call in this series is fire the editor. Discover the number one reason for writer's block and what you can do today to get beyond it. We've begun that work today. We start with the foundation. the inner journey of writing. Discover what's been blocking you from the inside. And I've shared with you three of the steps, three things that you can do to get rid of that editor, that horrible inner voice that stops us from getting the words from our head to the heart to the page. There are four other key crucial steps to even begin to let the editor go and to come into a world where I mentioned, people always tell me, Michelle, you have so much energy. How do you do all the things that you do? And I love my life. I love all the things that I do, and that was certainly not always the case in my life. Where does that energy come from? And so in that first call, you want to find where you'll get that abundant energy. And the one seed that I can drop in right now in the time that we have is you need to learn to shift that voice. You have to not only let go of the editor, find out his form, let go of the editor, but find a more supportive voice from now on. You can start with celebrating your successes. It's one place to begin. But there's a number of ways you need to be able to find out who an ideal listener would be and cultivate that ideal listener. So get you started, think about who that ideal listener might be and find a place to get your words on the page listening to them instead of others. Second step. So we've started to get rid of the editor. Starts coming back in different forms. Can you find a way to immerse yourself in new possibilities? And this is what we dive into in the second call of the series. I just want to give you one drop in one seed again in the time that we have today. One of the things you'll want to do is let go of all the have-tos, right? So often we write from a place of should. Oh, I should do this. I should get to the page. People tell me I should write. I should get that book out. I need to do it. I've got should, da-da-da-da-da. And the first thing I'll tell you, we're going to dive deeply into this in the second call. It's a 5 75-minute call. We dive in and find out how to let those unconstructive should and other voices go, and actually find a place where then for a while it feels like we're in between, in an in-between place, like, you know, trapeze artists. We have to be able to let go of the one side in order to grab the other. And so that's what we do in that second call. We learn how to become a trapeze artist and find ourselves in an entirely different place. Oh, my goodness, I'm sorry, I just lost my page. I have to get back to my page here. There it is. Okay, thank you. One more point I want to mention about that second step. When we learn to let go of these shoulds, we can start getting the support we need. So if there are people around you who are not supporting your writing efforts in any way, we will go deeply into either how to let them go or find a way to allow them to support you. And I've seen this happen over and over again with my students. It's amazing. It's like that person, I've lived with them for 20 years, and they've never, ever said that. I've never received that kind of support ever. And so we dive deeply into how to find that. One of the ways I'll share now is when you start letting go of those shoulds, more supportive voices will start to enter in. I'll give you that. That piece, or the piece that I can drop in for you today. The third step, love your words back into life. This is what we'll dive into in our third call in the series. We'll dive deeply in. And if you have any kind of, if you ever practice any kind of meditation, or some of you may know that part of what I do is I'm a certified Iyengar yoga teacher. It's been a journey of many, many years. And so if you have any kind of quiet practice that you do, yoga or Tai Chi or meditation or some other form of diving inward, in that third call, I will tell you how to take that practice and transform it into resonant words on the page. And the seed that I want to drop in right now is we often think that words come from words, right? It's going to come from all the words that are jostling around inside us, but that's just usually the editor's voice. Not always. I'll teach you how to distinguish as well, right? But often it's the editor's voice. And instead, we want to start listening in for a different voice, and it starts from the silence. So what I can drop in today is find a silent practice. So you can begin to listen to something that is a very different voice. I teach a week-long retreat on Salt Spring Island where students have come a second year, some plan to come the third year this year, because it is so utterly transformative for the writing. And we're going to dive deeply into that in the third call. How do you listen to a different voice? So we're not just always pruning the editor, but adding a voice that's actually going to support you. Starts the one seed I can drop in starts from silence, but we're going to dig deeply in, and what to do with that silence, how to transform it into beautiful words that not only do you get them onto the page, but that you love them, and you find the best of your words. You find the best of your words on the page, and the pages, the words on the page, you love them, and others do as well, because they're resonant, they're meaningful, they matter. Step four, this is what you're going to want to find for your writing. Step four, discover the magic box for writing. So we've got rid of the editor once. The editor comes back in a sneaky form. We find ways of letting go of that slippery editor, right? We need to know that the editor is going to come back in a back door, right? We start letting those different voices go by planting. It's like a garden, right? We pull the weeds and we plant new seeds. It's one of the ways that we're going to start to let go of editors in different forms. There's multiple ways that I teach, multiple ways of letting that slippery editor go, but one of them is to plant a new seed. Then step four, discover the magic box for writing. So we started planting new seeds. And now imagine, instead of going to your writing room and turning away exhausted, imagine what it would be like to wake up in the morning, pop out of bed so excited you can't wait to get to your energy room because the ideas are already starting to flow. Imagine finding that energy now and sustaining it. Tap into an infinite source of great ideas for all your writing projects so that what you have to say will matter to you and to your readers every time. And if you received my newsletter just a couple days ago, or yesterday actually, I think it came out, those students who are at that, we spent a week diving deeply into this in Golden, finding an infinite source of great ideas and allowing, so that we're not always scrambling for ideas, so that the ideas just descend onto us, right? And what it takes is opening and allowing rather than forcing and striving. So opening is the key. And we can journal to open. We can, again, starting from that quiet space, we learn to open and listen to a different voice. Right? There are actually seven things that we do that we'll touch on, seven things that we do to open so that this infinite source of ideas comes to us. We'll dive deeply into them, but as I say, the core of it is to open, and we can open in joyful, silly ways. Do something different. Go for a walk. Play a little bit. And to give you just a bit of the spirit of opening, just want to take a minute here. the difference between the editor and opening. What we dive into, as I say, strongly in that fourth call, but in a couple minutes here, what I can give you. My daughter, her name is Dana, and she's 14. And this morning she wrote her English exam at school. And it was amazing because the English exam was multiple choice. And so it was like, what is a simile? What is a metaphor? Read this story. Answer, as she said, a million questions about it. Now, of course, she does really well. She does really well on these. Her grades are up in the 90s. She knows how to ace these exams. But it's like, ho-hum, who cares, and what does this have to do with my voice? But what if we could find that open spirit? And I want to tell you, I was so proud of her and so happy for her. Here's the spirit of the opening that you want to encourage for your writing. I'll just drop it in here. Again, we go deeply in that 75-minute call in July. But she gathered three of her friends. They were over this afternoon just before my call with you here. And it was not about multiple choice. It was not about, you know, answering these 5,000 questions in an hour, you know, 1.25 hours. It was not about knowing whether onomatopoeia is different from synecdoche, is different from, like, who cares? It's not that those things can't be fun or we can't be passionate about them, and we can bring those words in when they serve us. But what her friends did, what I loved about it, what was magical, they left the exam and they romped off and they started roaming, and they went to Dairy Queen and they were laughing and they enjoyed some ice cream together, and then they went to Peter's Drive, and then they decided, it's like this hamburger place, they decided they didn't want hamburgers because something tastier was down the way, and they're wandering around, and one of her friends is out, it was raining, but they're laughing, they're having a great time, and one of them is just not even under the umbrella, she's standing under the rain and just letting it pour down onto her, enjoying the moment. And then these beautiful girls came together, and as I was first on a call with a student, and then I was listening to a call with my own teacher, because I'm always a teacher and a student, and I hear them in the background, and they're laughing, and they're playing, and they're all writers, and they come to me, and they've written this beautiful story, and it flows like rain, and it comes from connecting with a passionate community where the words simply flow, where you can allow the rain to fall on your face, where the words drop in like rain. That is the spirit of opening. We'll dive deeply in on call number 4, but that is the space you want to go to. Go to a place where the rain falls on your face, where you skip with your friends, find a supportive community that can help you on your writing path, one that will not give you a multiple choice exam, but that will dance and play with you and write the stories together. This leads me to the 5th step. And again, whether you, I've walked this journey with writers since 1989, thousands of writers, these are the things that I've taught. These are the keys to first letting go of the editor and then to plucking those weeds out and planting a supportive garden, one that will last you for a lifetime. This 5th step, stop being perfect. Start being passionate. It's a drive to perfection that keeps us from doing what we need to do in a daily way for our writing. It's debilitating. It's that editor's voice. It's a punitive voice from the outside. We can change it, and we know how. And on the call, I'll dive into where this passion comes from. And the number one key to taking inspired action toward your writing goals. What I want to share with you here is the key to that. One of the keys is that word inspired action. You don't want to just take action willy-nilly. You want it to be inspired. So with the time we have today, I just want to drop that seed in. Don't just act willy-nilly. Start from that walking out in the rain, from sharing with friends who are passionate about your writing. Don't share your words with the dream stealers, with those who've lost their own dreams, but share with the dream enablers. Take inspired action toward your writing goals. On the call, we'll also discover a number of things. What will propel you forward each moment? You won't require discipline. People often say, Michelle, how are you so disciplined? You get so much stuff done. I'm not disciplined at all. I'm passionate. Find out where the passion comes from, and so you can toss discipline aside and have fun. Enjoy the writing journey again and grow your words beyond anything you thought possible. Find out why visualization often backfires. And I started to give you the seed of that. It's that when we think, I want that thing that I can't have, want that thing that I can't have. I'll just drop this in. We go much deeper in the call. We have more time there. But what I can drop in is find the beauty in now. When you find the beauty in now, you will be well on your way to not letting that affirmation backfire. So there's a key between how we connect past or present and future, but that is the seed of it. That's the core of it. You can't let the now drop off your vision of the future, or it tends to backfire. And when you find a beautiful now, that beautiful vision of what you have will propel you forward. You will find the passion. If you decide, these are the keys, these are the steps that you need. I've taught you today what the editor is, why it matters, three steps to start getting rid of it. But then I told you, the editor comes in slippery forms. These are the keys to letting go of that editor in the slippery form and to plant a new garden. One where your writing comes from a passionate place, one where your words matter, and they continue to flow. They don't just start and then stop again because a new editor has come up. So if you join me in this five teleclass series, which is not just a teleclass series, I want to tell you, you'll also have access to an exclusive private online forum where you'll meet with like-minded dream enablers. You'll find that community like my daughter found with her friends today, where the writing can simply flow. So you'll join that. You'll have access to hot seats with me, access to questions, a place where you can find it. Well, yeah, I get it, Michelle. The editor comes in slippery forms. My mind's coming up like this. What do I do about it? You'll have access to a place where you can ask me and ask me questions, find the support that you need both from me and from others to totally ignite that passionate writer that is within you to find those passionate words. So along with this teleclass series, along with this forum, in addition to this, I've included a couple bonuses for you. And actually a third one that's not even listed that I want to tell you about that I'm really excited about. But all of a sudden I thought, I want to add this for you too, right? So a couple bonuses I know you'll enjoy. A couple of them are on the page. A couple of them I'm just telling you here. One of them I'm just telling you here. The first bonus is like, okay, Michelle, this is great, but I've had this editor going. Well, how do I get started? How do I even begin? The first bonus in this teleclass series, immediate access to my new guide. This is a brand new guide. It's a few months old now, but it's pretty new. It's still pretty hot off the press. How to begin your creative writing journey and have fun doing it. A five-step guide to discover your best writing ever. It's a short guide. It's powerful. It'll get you started. Whether you've been writing for a long, long time or you're just beginning, you will know what to do to clear your space, to clear your head, to start your writing journey right here, right now. It's powerful. It's like what I've been teaching for 20 years. Where do you start? Where do you begin? This is it. And you'll have immediate access to this. The second bonus, and this one I'm hopping out of my seat about, is my really big bonus. You will receive a free ticket to my 3-day live event in, and I'm sorry, the screen says July 2013. That should say August 2013. And the places at this retreat, this is $1,000 and up value, and I mean, and it's included in this teleclass series. It's a huge bonus, and you can come, you can join us, and all these things that you're going to be doing, what you've learned here, taking it further in the teleclass series. You will get the chance to join a community of writers and those who know how to enable your dreams. You can network with them. You can connect it with them. We will go deeply into the teleclass series. The forum will give you all that you need. But this will give you a chance to deepen all the training that you receive in the teleclass series, meet others face-to-face on the journey. Perhaps you'll meet those that you'll creatively write together with, like my daughter has. Perhaps you'll meet someone who will help you get your words into that book that you want to get it to or into that form you want to get it to. Perhaps you'll meet your publisher there. Perhaps you'll meet the one who wants to hear your story. This event is in the beautiful Rocky Mountains. It's at a venue that I've taught at multiple times before, and I know you're going to enjoy this beautiful, beautiful space together. So scroll down if you're following with me on the page. Scroll down. So what is the investment? What is the investment? Well, as I say, there's already – oh, actually, I forgot the other bonus. Usually it's just my top-level clients who have private access, one-on-one access to the work that I do. And but one of the bonuses that I want to offer you is a chance for a strategy session, private call with me to see how your journey is progressing and to make sure you know what the best next step is for your writing. So this is a $400 value, and it's something that I've added. It's not even on the page, but you're listening on this call. It's something that I've added for you for this series. So what will this cost me? I can tell you that this is the last time that this training will be offered at this introductory price. $497 plus a 5% sales tax. This is in Canadian dollars. If you're from the U.S., don't worry. The currency conversion happens automatically for you through PayPal. It usually comes out to about the same in American dollars, give or take a dollar or two. Sometimes you even save a little. So this is certainly the last time that I will offer this training because I know the transformation that happens. Recently had somebody tell me it was a block that they had for 10 years in their writing. And in this short series, it dissolved. And the writing is flowing so quickly she can't even keep up. So this is the last time it's certainly going to be offered at this at this investment level. You're also, I know about the people that I work with and I know what happens. I am so confident. If you're not completely blown away after receiving this training, after the second teleclass, other than a small reversal fee, we'll refund your investment, no questions asked. So if you'd like to have someone hold your hand through this journey, if you'd like to be among dream enablers who can help you get your words from your head to the heart to the page, if you want to know what to do with that slippery editor who comes in the back door and find ways of replacing that editor with a supportive voice so that you can finally share your words with the world, all you need to do is scroll down the page and you'll see a big button that says win the inner game of writing access. It includes the guide, includes the live event, includes the private time with me. There's a big button that says register now, and just click there. And right now, for a short time, you have access to, you can either pay in full or there's a three-payment plan. I want this to be accessible, easily accessible to everyone. So you just scroll down, click on the button, and you'll be taken to a secure PayPal link where you can join a very supportive and beautiful community of writers who will help those words finally get from the head to the heart to the page. So, just want to make sure that you have your questions answered. And there's so many questions that come up for people. I just want to make sure that that we address those questions. Just before I do that, though, I want to take you to a place of imagining. Imagine what it would be like if just once you could find those words that are lodged inside you, if you could stop being haunted by the blank page. What if you could share these stories with your children or your grandchildren? Perhaps your words have the power to heal someone, even one person. You might want to ask yourself, do I have, this is what I ask myself, do I have the right to withhold my stories from them? What if your stories could heal even one person? You have that power to heal. You have the power to make others laugh and cry. Your words are wanting to be heard. So again, I said, there's questions that often come up, and these are questions that you may have. They're questions I often get about my work. So I want to just take a couple of minutes to address them here. People sometimes ask, Michelle, what if the timing's not good? What if I'm too busy? Well, first I want to say that's your editor's voice who's talking, and I want to help you with that. I want to help you let go of that voice because the people that I work with, they have schedules like you wouldn't believe. They're setting pen to page. Not only that, it's great news. All the calls are recorded and transcribed. You can catch up at your convenience. And plus, you can get your questions up in the forum so at any time. So if you miss a class, you can still get your questions answered. Second question I often get, Michelle, what if I'm just getting started? I don't even know what to write about. What if I'm just a beginner? What if I don't have the background or the education or the experience to write about what I think I want to write about? First, I want to say, that's your editor talking, probably, right? And also, this is the perfect way to begin. So many people, I've seen this time and time again, they waste their time and their money chasing after words in ways that simply amplify their inner critic. I tell you, I've seen it so many times over and over again at the university. It's one of the reasons that I wanted to reach out to a larger community. You don't want to step in ways that simply amplify your critic. You want to find something that will serve you to let go of that critic right from the beginning. So when you come in as a beginning writer, you can step into the vastness of your writing from the beginning. You don't have to amplify your editor before you let it go. Besides, you know a lot more about your writing. You know a lot more about writing and your writing specifically than you think. You've been telling stories to your loved ones all your life. You get home at the end of the day, it's been a doozy, you can't wait to get it off your chest. Or you've just had the shopping deal of your life, or you've run into an old friend with a crazy story. Or you were speechless when you bumped into the guy you used to like in high school and your stories are all there. You've been telling them forever. And when would now be a good time to get the words from the head out onto the page? Question 3 I often get. Michelle, what if I'm an experienced writer? Will this help me? Absolutely. When I spoke to one best-selling author and I started to tell her about what I did, how I got stuck writers unstuck, and what happened when I worked with writers, she burst into tears. Her success itself had amplified her editor so much, she was stuck. Now she had something to live up to, so that sneaky editor I told you I'd return to this had changed forms. When you learn about the form of your own particular editor, you can find ways around it. You can develop a more supportive voice that's unique to you. Finally, you can let your voice be heard. Fourth question I often get, Michelle, what if I can't trust myself to do the work? If you can't trust yourself to pick up the phone once a week, connect with like-minded people, complete some fun exercises that will not only land words on the page, but also bring joy into your life. If you can't trust yourself to take a few minutes out of your week to develop a practice that will give you energy and vitality back, so that in the end you end up gaining more time, more peace of mind, more creativity in every area of your life. If you can't trust yourself to find these few minutes for yourself, then I suggest that you don't do this program. But if you're ready to have a breakthrough in your writing and your life, and this is calling to you, we welcome you. Be one of the first to join me in this heart-centered adventure. Remember, for a few days or so, a short time, you have access to that easy 3 pay. I want to make it an absolutely no-brainer for you. It's up to you. Only you can bring your stories to life. I encourage you to let your stories live. Share them with yourself. And then, if you choose, with others. Know that your voice matters. And when you know that your voice truly matters, when you let that critical editor go, the words will flow from you like rain. It's your birthright. I welcome you to our writing circle. Thank you.
The moderator has left the conference.